You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we start the new year with a new sermon series. That sermon series, as Pastor Kevin mentioned in his email blast, is titled Jesus for All. And in this series, we're taking a look at encounters with Jesus, pieces of God's Word where different people encounter Jesus and the grace he has to offer them. And our goal in this is to see ourselves in these encounters, to see ourselves in the people who encounter Jesus, but more importantly, to see the grace Jesus has to offer them as grace that is also offered in our lives. And this week, we're going to start with Jesus and the hungry. And to look at this particular encounter, we're going to look at Mark chapter 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And this is a story we're all kind of familiar with, or most of us have some familiarity with, but we're going to look at it a little different today. We're going to look at it from more than just the perspective of the amazement at the miracle, and it was amazing, but we're going to look at it in the person-to-person encounter, Jesus and this great crowd that had gathered around him. And in this particular encounter, it's interesting because the crowd found him. They knew where he was going, and they gathered to kind of catch Jesus. They found him. And I think the first question we need to ask today is, why? What were these people seeking? What were they hungry for? What did they desire that day? Because I think the answer to that question, almost certainly, is not loaves and fish. They weren't gathering there to be fed. They were looking for something else. Sure, the loaves and fish is part of what they ended up with that day. But I think we need to ask, what were they really looking for? And I think to answer that, we have to take a look at who this crowd was. Now, Mark doesn't give us every detail, but he does give us one. He says that number, 5,000 men. Now, this was a common way of counting back then, and what it really means is 5,000 family units. So we're looking at a number far bigger than 5,000. If you account for women and children and the young and the old, we're probably looking at 15, 20,000 people, maybe more. A little perspective on that, visualization. The former Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, now Ameris Bank Amphitheater in Alpharetta, seats 12,000 at max capacity. So several thousand more than a full amphitheater downtown. And I give us this illustration because we need to know how big this crowd was to know how diverse it was. It was men and women, young and old, rich and poor, a large and diverse group. And I highlight the diversity because with that many people, there was no way they were all there for the same reason. The reasons they had come that day were likely as diverse as the group itself. Now, Mark doesn't tell us why they gathered. We can guess. Now, Jesus had been carrying on his ministry for some time now, and there were probably lots of people who had come for him. They had heard the healing he and his disciples could do, and maybe they came wanting to be healed. They had heard he could cast out demons. Maybe they came with a family member who needed that type of healing. They had heard about him from John the Baptist. Maybe they were listening to John and going to see the one who had been promised. Or maybe they had heard of the wisdom and beauty of his words and they wanted to hear them for himself, for themselves. Now, all these reasons I just listed are the sincere reasons people might have come. But these are people like us. If we're being honest, we have to realize many of these people probably came for less sincere reasons. Many likely came because they were just following the crowd. Others may have come looking for company. Others may have been dragged by their family members. Some may have been skeptics looking to justify their own skepticism about this man named Jesus. And some probably didn't even know why they were going. Whatever emptiness or boredom in their life led them to that place that day. I wonder, what were each of them seeking? What did they desire? What were they hungry for that day? And would the things they went desiring be the things they actually received? But when it comes down to it, one thing we should see in this is this crowd is a lot like us. different people in diverse situations with unique circumstances to their lives, different seasons of life that we exist in, different challenges, different blessings, different strengths and weaknesses. Likewise, us being a diverse group, people being diverse, we have different desires that are often quite different than our neighbors. Some of us need rest, others stimulation, some peace, others healing, some money, some companionship. We all get up each day seeking and desiring different things. The question is, where do we go to find them? Where do we seek the things we desire? Now, these people in this encounter, these people in that crowd that day, they had come to Jesus. In each of their individual circumstances, they sought that which they were looking for in him, or at least in the crowd that was gathering around him. And as they gathered, with their unique circumstances, with their unique desires, Jesus saw them. He encountered them. And as he saw them in his godly wisdom, he cut through the differences. He cut through the reason they were actually there, and he saw them for what they were and what they needed. He saw them, and Mark actually tells us what he thought. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And I think this sheep-shepherd relationship is the key to this encounter. How Jesus saw them and how he, in turn, reacted to them is the key for us to understand. And we first need to understand sheep in order to understand how Jesus responds to this great crowd of people coming before him. Because sheep, they're a little simpler than us. They're simpler than us in what they desire. And what I mean by that is their desires maybe aren't as complex. As I can figure it, sheep desire three things: food or provision, companionship, and protection. These are the three things that drive most of what a sheep might do in its life, most of what it might go looking for. The three pretty basic needs, but they're pretty basic needs that we also have and drive much of what we do. But the thing about sheep is, in an effort to find these things, food and companionship and protection, in an effort to find those things, sheep do what? They wander. Sheep wander. They follow other sheep who also don't know what they're doing. They often go off on their own looking for greener grass, and what happens? They get lost and they find themselves in danger. Sheep are notorious for searching for what they desire in the wrong places, for getting hopelessly lost, for getting themselves stuck, for getting themselves at the mercy of predators, for even walking off a cliff because other sheep did it first. Sheep are often Jesus' illustration of the human condition. I know none of us are quite so obvious in our wandering, quite so obvious in our foolishness, but pretty much everything a sheep will do to get itself in danger, we also will do. Whether it's following a crowd or going off on our own looking for greener grass, we too often seek the things we desire in the wrong places and find ourselves lost or alone or in danger. And this is what Jesus saw when he looked upon this great crowd before him. He saw thousands of wandering people seeking the desires of their hearts, seeking food for their souls, but not really knowing where to find it. So Jesus, he had compassion on them. He saw them as sheep, and he knew they needed a shepherd, a guide, and a protector. And we today, we also need a shepherd. We are all in different places in our lives, all looking for different things. Some of us have a grasp on what we need, but we need help getting there. Others of us don't even really know what it is we want or need. We just know we have to start somewhere. We feel an emptiness or a loneliness, and we don't really know where to find the solution. So what do? Well, we wander. We search, sometimes on our own, other times following other people who may or may not know where they are going. It's hard to admit, but we are a lot like sheep, and we need a shepherd. You see, shepherding, it's a multifaceted job. A shepherd does many things for his flock. First, he guides them in the right direction. He also protects them from danger, from foes. He feeds them at times. He tends to their wounds at times. He goes to find the lost at times. He defends them against the wolves at times. Basically, a shepherd tends to all the needs of the flock, whether or not they understand what they actually want and need. This is what Jesus does. He cares for the flock, all of their needs. And this great flock that came before him that day, they came hungry. Hungry for companionship, hungry for healing, hungry for learning, hungry for something that would make them feel less empty. And I wonder, did each of those people find what they were looking for that day? I don't know. I don't know exactly what they were looking for. I don't know if they found what they desired, but I do know this. Regardless of what they came looking for, they found what they needed. They found what their souls needed, and they found it in Jesus' teaching. Because as Jesus sees them and has compassion on them, the first thing he does is teach them. He shares the words and promises of God with them. And Mark doesn't really tell us exactly what Jesus taught them that day. But again, we can guess from Jesus' other sermons. I'd imagine he taught them something about forgiveness. I'd imagine he taught them something about warning them against the greener grass that could be money or possessions or all the other things we often chase after in life that lead us astray. And you can bet he taught them about the kingdom of God. He may have said to them these exact words, "Seek first the kingdom, and these things you desire will be added to you as well." Really, what he was doing as a shepherd for them that day was highlighting what was most important for them, leading them to what was most vital for their lives first. And I don't know how many of the people who started stayed the whole time. Mark doesn't actually tell us how many people started in that crowd that day. You probably can guess that as humans, some people left. Some grew bored of what he had to say. Others simply didn't believe. But what Mark does tell us is at the end of that day, 5,000 family units remained. 5,000 family units stayed the whole day, putting Jesus and his kingdom first, so enthralled by the wisdom he had for them that they forewent even eating. They had seen something so much more valuable than what he had to offer them that day. But Jesus, being a shepherd, in that multifaceted role, saw to the needs of his flock, all their needs. He first showed them what was most important in the words and promises of Jesus, the words and promises of God, but he knew they were also physically hungry, that they had earthly needs as well. So what did he do? He decided to feed them. He took those loaves and those fish, and he produced that miracle, and he fed those some 20,000 people. It wasn't the greatest thing they would receive that day, but he still took care of that need as well. And they all ate, and it was a miracle, one that only God could accomplish. But you know, if you really think about it, the most amazing miracle that happened that day was not that Jesus produced all this food. The most amazing miracle in this encounter is recorded in verse 42, which says, "And all ate and were satisfied." The most amazing part of this feeding was that each and every person who stayed and ate that meal was satisfied. Every single person happy with what they received. Not a single person choking on a fishbone. Not a single person with an adverse gluten reaction. Not a single child who was a picky eater and didn't want what was given to them. All satisfied. An amazing miracle. You see, those who had stayed to listen to him first, those who had sought first the kingdom in Jesus' words that day, well, they were satisfied with the earthly provision he had for them that day. The miracle that happened that day was not producing that much food. The miracle was that that day tens of thousands of people showed up wandering, and each of them left satisfied. Something that can only happen in Jesus Christ. something that can only happen in our shepherd, the one who cares for all of our needs. First, the eternal, by fighting and dying for us on the cross to secure that most vital thing for our lives and souls, but also intimately caring about the daily needs and desires in a way that only he can satisfy. So I ask you today, what are you hungry for? What are you looking for? What do you desire? And whatever it may be, I wonder, where are you looking for it? Are you looking for it in places that will leave you satisfied, or are you looking for it in places that sheepish people so often look for and find themselves hungry, unsatisfied, lost, and in danger? Basically, are you seeking Jesus and his kingdom first, or are you doing it in some other order? Now, the truth is, we all have a tendency to seek other things first, a tendency to lose track of our shepherd, a tendency to take our eyes off of him, a tendency to spend more time, money, and effort on things that are outside of Jesus. It's a tendency called sin, and it's that tendency we all have that causes us to wander in the same way sheep do, to find ourselves hungry. But if we're paying attention, even amidst this wandering, our shepherd is always there. He is always still there. He is always calling back to us, leading us back in the right direction, often going out to find us when we have lost sight of the entire flock, to lead us to the places where we can truly be fed, to the places where we can be protected, to the places we can find real satisfaction. You know, you're in one of those places right now, either in this sanctuary or joining us on the live stream. You are in the Christian worship service, a place where we can see our shepherd a little more clearly. But as I say that, we all recognize the church is not a perfect place, including this church included, as well as every other church on earth. None of them are perfect places. Why? Because they're filled with people. People like us who have that wandering tendency called sin. People who often get distracted and take their eyes off the shepherd and the direction he is setting and find ourselves lost and hungry. We're all in this boat. You're our pastors included. It's actually funny. Pastors are often called shepherds. But I kind of think that term gives us a little too much credit, because the term shepherd implies that we know exactly where we're going. But at the end of the day, all pastors, all church leaders, and church members alike have the same sheep-like qualities. We all lack understanding. We all make mistakes, and we all get distracted. But yet this church, as well as all churches based on God's word, are places of rest. And our goal in the church, what Pastor Kevin and I try to do, what other leaders of the church try to do, is get the sheep to the shepherd. That's really all we try to do, to point people in the same direction the shepherd is leading them. You know, I remember the day I found out I was coming to Christ the Shepherd a couple years ago. It was a day called Call Day at the seminary, where all the candidates found out their assignment, where they were going, where they would be a pastor. And on that day, the president of the seminary preached a sermon. And the title of that sermon was Sheepdogs. And he spent 25 minutes explaining what our future job as pastors was going to be. Not really as a shepherd, but more of a sheepdog. One who assists the shepherd. One who does their best to listen to the shepherd and then runs around in circles all day trying to point the sheep back in the right direction. But the thing is, the direction is not determined by the sheepdog. The direction is never determined by the flock. The direction is always determined by the shepherd, the only one who understands the bigger picture. You see, the church, the flock, it's never going to be perfect, but our shepherd is. Our one and only goal as the church is to point people towards the shepherd, the one and only real shepherd. Our good shepherd, his name's on the building outside, Christ the Shepherd. You see, those people who had gathered around Jesus that day, they came for so many different reasons. But each of them came because they were hungry for something. And they didn't all find exactly what they desired that day, exactly what they were looking for that day, but they all found what they needed, what their shepherd knew they needed, the words and promises of Jesus Christ. And afterwards, he took care of the earthly needs too, and he gave them a miraculous meal to sustain them during the journey. It's really pretty similar to what we're doing here today, our Christian worship service. If we're being honest, we all got up and came here for different reasons this morning. But the things we will receive are the same. They are the things we need. First and foremost, the words and promises of Jesus Christ. And yeah, there'll be a miraculous meal to help sustain us along the way afterwards. My encouragement today, follow your shepherd. Listen to his words. Follow his path. Even on the days where another direction seems like greener grass, even when part of the flock seems to be going a different direction. You're hungry. I'm hungry. We have desires and needs that need to be met. But look for them in the right place. Seek first his kingdom, and all the earthly things we need will be satisfied as well. Follow the shepherd, the good shepherd. The one who fed the 5,000 in this encounter. The one who fought for us on the cross. The one who fights for us even today. The one who had compassion on the wanderers. The one who goes to find the lost. And the only one who can satisfy the hungry. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.